This is awesome. This is really good.
This is a kick-ass burger.
This is a great burger.
Now, if you want something that's good and hot, just eat a hamburger. It'll hit the spot. You can see them on the grill. Go and flip it if not. Makes you want to do the bucket to the hamburger hot. They're open up 24 hours a day. Just waiting and hoping all the folks will say, put a burger on the grill. Do a flip it if not. Put an onion in the middle and a pickle on top.
Two men, two burgers, some beer. It's the Montreal Burger Report with Ed Hocko and Chris Hand.
Just ain't nothing finer, no, nothing's quite so new. Been digging it with the sizzling real, like the burgers always do. You really should go because it's swept the land. Everybody's going to the hamburger stand. When they put them on the grill, do a flip and a flop. Everybody does a burger to the hamburger house.
Good day and welcome to part two of the second episode of the Montreal Burger Report. In this episode, Ed Hocko and Chris Hand actually get to eat the burgers at restaurant Au Feu Bistro Allumé. As you will discover, it truly is a pity that in between the recording and the broadcasting of this episode of the Montreal Burger Report, restaurant Au Feu Bistro Allumé closed. The Montreal Burger Report is a radio show, podcast, blog, something or other, whereupon Ed and Chris go out, have a couple of burgers, some beer, and in very generalized terms try to inform you about how wonderful the wide world of burgers in Montreal are. We hope that you enjoy it as much as we do.
And this is the thing about restaurants like this. I wonder, how, like, what do they need to do to survive, you know? It's a pretty competitive business.
Okay, to me, it's, I guess it would be that they own the building, or the rent is cheap enough,
right.
And at which point between lunch and dinner, it's like, don't imagine Wednesday dinners are going to make a break.
Right.
It is a sort of thing, there are two people on set. There's the guy in the kitchen, there's the waiter.
Right.
There's front and the back end, and that's it. So at which point, costs are minimal. And if you have rent that is, because you've been here 20 years, I'll say something along the lines of $2,500 a month.
But,
and at which point, how many burgers do you have to sell?
But are you setting the bar low? By saying that we don't have to differentiate ourselves by having particularly good food?
We shall find out, but it is also the sort of thing where, like, look at the difference between when you start a new job, when you're looking, okay, I got to impress the boss and everything like that, versus you've been there for 20 years, and at which point, nah, I got tenure. These young punks coming up, yeah, right. they might be able to show me a little bit, but no, I've been here, don't mess with me. I know how things are done.
Right. Well, I guess that's the struggle that any restaurant that's been around for a long time has to, you know, has to fight. Well, this is the thing. I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is if you're in a sort of neighborhood restaurant that's been around for a long time, you're surviving either because your costs are really low, which is bad if, you know, you include your food costs.
Well, that's because right. I'm also looking around and relatively one of three tables, and so right. at which point.
Or the other thing is that the food is really good and consistently good, and people keep coming back. Like you say, the place is kind of empty tonight. Mm-hmm. Although it is a Wednesday, but still, you know, it's a Wednesday in the middle of the plateau, so yeah, we'll see. What do you think we're going to get with this? Is it going to be the slightly tinted mayonnaise, or is it going to be ketchup?
I forgot.
What?
Oh, that's for rare, that thing. Excuse me. Am I too late, or is it possible to get my burger rare?
Yeah, I think it's possible. Both of us, yours.
Just mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Score. It sounds like you didn't blink when you asked for your burger rare.
No, and then at which point, I can hear him sizzling at which point.
Yeah, you even asked for it when it's already on the grill, mm-hmm. And you can pull it off, so it's great.
We might have to come back to me. This gives it good vibes.
You've got a smile cracking your visage there.
Despite
Chris.
Drinking the Borla.
There is that too.
But thank you for reminding me, because I don't know why it is that I can keep forgetting.
Do you think this is the kind of place that sets down a little pot of slightly tinted mayonnaise? Or do you think it's the kind of place that sets down a bottle of ketchup? To go with your fries.
I think you get the mayonnaise in the little jar, in the little metal.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Uh-huh. So is he going to ask us if we want ketchup, or do I have to lower my dignity and ask him for it?
You're going to unfortunately have to ask for the ketchup.
You think so?
And I think it's if you can. It's not a matter of lowering your dignity. It's there. It's why you would want ketchup. still cannot understand. It's to me, it's yes, the proper sort of condiment for your fries is the mayonnaise. And if you want, yeah, if you want to go that sort of like monk route and that sort of like pristine sort of your fries, fine. No salt, no vinegar, no ketchup.
I'm not interested in monks when I'm eating fries. I'm interested in eating fries with some good old Heinz ketchup on it. It's a great combination.
Thank you.
The burgers arrive.
And doesn't that look...
Would you like mayonnaise ketchup with those fries?
Mayonnaise for me, please.
Ketchup for me, please. You know, I'm liking this place more and more every minute. Simple question. Mayonnaise or fries? That's what I want to hear. It smells great.
It looks very nice, too.
It looks like a hand-pressed bun. A hand-pressed patty. It's got a big slab of cheese on it and a big smear of barbecue sauce. Let me taste that. That's a sweet and tangy. Mm-hmm. You know, some guy from Texas would probably have a lot to say about it, bad or not, but it's a basic smoky and vinegary acidic barbecue sauce. Exactly what I want. A big slice of a red tomato.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's it.
And can I also get another beer, please?
You know what stands out here is, look at the tomato. There's a big, big juicy slice of tomato here. And it's actually a red tomato. That shouldn't be a big exceptional thing. But I find, you know, here we are living up here in the Great White North. It seems really hard to find a good red tomato. Nice looking bun too. Seems nice and fresh. I'm looking forward to this. I got my 2 minutes on my burger and I'm about to bite into it.
And it's your first bite is as nice as mine. Not contrary to the meat market, I think we can actually talk about the burgers tonight.
This is awesome. This is really good.
This is a kick-ass burger.
This is a great burger. It's nice and thick. Mine doesn't really have any pink in it, but I didn't specify how I wanted to cook.
Mine has a little bit of pink in it, and had I been a little bit more on the ball, I would have gotten it cooked as well as the way that I wanted it.
I should comment that your plate is full of red juices, so it certainly you got some rare action going on here. And I should say that even though there's no pink in mine, it's not dry. It's juicy. This is a burger. This is a good burger. I'm very happy about my burger. But you know, the way you describe the story, that's sort of the classic Italian food paradigm, you know, where you get lots of like American and Canadian folks like us that, you know, like to like go on and on about the thing that makes this Italian dish so special. But you talk to Italians about it, and you know, they'll argue night and day about whether onions should go in a, you know, ragu bolognese or not, depending on what side of the street you live on or what village your grandmother came from. Whatever.
Exactly.
But ultimately, what it comes down to is, you know, love, cooking it with love and with passion and with
I recently passed a new test, which is now making me feel like all full of myself. But I got some like black olive gnocchi.
Nice.
Nailed it seriously to the point where it's like she wanted more and more, and now I'm supposed to be making it for her dad. And at this point,
eating burgers? Let's go to your place.
Souffle?
Oh, yeah, very, very good burger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like I was saying earlier, what the menu lists as being on the burger is just the highlights. So, for example, there's no mention of mayonnaise here. But, you know, you got a tomato, you got lettuce, yeah, put a little mayonnaise.
Thanks for listening to episode number 2 of the Montreal Burger Report, part 2 of Ed Hocko and Chris Hand's visit to restaurant Au Feu Bistro Allumé. After spending most of part 2 raving about how wonderfully fantastic and amazing the burgers were, it truly is a pity that restaurant Au Feu Bistro Allumé closed. Part 3 of the Montreal Burger Report involves a conversation between Ed and Chris about the finer points of French fries, but ultimately they return to discuss and agree on how wonderful the burgers at restaurant Au Feu Bistro Allumé were. Did I mention it truly is a pity that they closed? Don't touch that screen, dial, or browser, and be sure to listen, download, or otherwise enjoy part 3 of Ed Hocko and Chris Hand's visit to restaurant Au Feu Bistro Allumé next week on the Montreal Burger Report. This episode of the Montreal Burger Report was produced by Chris Hand. If you have any comments, ideas, or suggestions, we can be reached by email at montrealburgerreport@gmail.com or on the internet at montrealburger.wordpress.com. We would graciously like to thank CKUT for their support, Brad Slide and Less Than Jake for the music, and you for listening.